The story of Mert and Marge. Margie's troublesome foster brother, Jimmy Minter, seems to have added a few complications to the lives of our two heroines. First, he showed up in New York before Jack Arnold sent for him, contrary to instructions. Then he dropped a chance remark about meeting an old friend from Chicago, a man named Harry Duffy. The name started Mert worrying because she connected it immediately with that of the notorious Chicago racketeer Spike Duffy. It's true that Jimmy seems to have reformed since he got out of the hospital, but we wonder if his old underworld ties are completely gone. We'll see what happens in just a moment when the curtain goes up on today's episode in the story of Mert and Marge. Mert and Marge are in their apartment. They had a breakfast date with Jimmy, but he never showed up. Meanwhile, Mert and Marge have taken advantage of the time to do some house cleaning. They are hard at it, as Mert says.
Here it is, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Margie, and no word from that Jimmy. A very inconsiderate guy, I'd say.
And after the beautiful breakfast we prepared, yeah. He might at least have phoned.
Good thing I didn't wait for him to wash windows. Here, I finished them. See, don't they sparkle?
They certainly do. Well, I got all the cupboards all straightened and the silver polish.
You mean those 21 pieces of Woolworth specials?
Oh, and don't forget that silver tray and the pickle dish.
You know what, Margie? I think your folks would get a greater kick out of going out someplace for dinners instead of eating in. We'll take them to Mama Spinelli's and a couple other nice little places I know.
Oh, they'd love that. Say, Myrtle, do you think you ought to try to get Mr. Arnold on the phone?
Well, I don't think it's any use, Margie. His secretary didn't seem to want to tell me where he was when we called the office this morning. Mm. He's probably out in an important case. Anyway, I left their number, and he'll probably call us when he comes in.
Gee, I wish we thought to ask Jimmy where he's staying.
But we didn't. He just said he had a room over at his old place. Jack may know where the place is. Probably some dump way over on the west side. Mm. Well, let's not worry about it.
Okay, Myrtle. Well, what'll I do now? Just the living room and vacuum the rug?
You can start to polish the bedroom furniture if you want to.
Oh, okay. Say, Myrtle, hadn't we better turn the mattresses over? It's sagging a little on one side.
Well, I'll help with that, Margie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, someone at the door. Jimmy probably decided to show up, thinking the cleaning's all finished.
Hello, Kitty Cadenza.
Oh, it's you, Clarence. You're just in time.
Well, that's just dandy, Mert. I'm hungry as a bear. I just said to myself if I took a brisk walk from 47th to 49th Street. Mert and Marge will probably be just sitting down to brunch, and I'll be right on time to enjoy some of Mert's goodies. So, here I am.
Brunch, nothing. We had breakfast hours ago.
Oh, dear, that long walk for nothing. Oh, brain collapse. After all, I'm not used to these athletic pursuits. Oh, hello, Marge. My goodness, what are you made up for? With your head all tied up in that white rag, you look like an ad for a headache powder. And for Pete's sake, just look at this place. You two kids being evicted? Didn't pay your rent, huh? Well, with a housing shortage, I think
we're house cleaning, Clarence. Mother and Daddy Mitter are coming down from Oneida, and we want everything to look immaculate.
Well, how are they going to shack up in this three-room hut? Only one bed, after all.
They're going to sleep over at Mrs. Morris's rooming house around the corner. And as I said when you popped in here, Clarence, you're just in time.
In time for what, Bedelia? If it isn't brunch, I'm simply not interested.
In time to turn the mattress over on the bed.
Who, me? I never turned a mattress in my life. I'm not the type, you know.
Well, the exercise will do you good. Come on, Clarence.
Exercise again? Heavens, no. Besides, I have a very weak back. Why, when I was a child, I wasn't even allowed to carry my own books.
Shut up and take hold of this end. I'll help at the other end.
Oh, dear. I wish I'd never come up here.
Come on. Let's turn it over.
Here you go. Oh, my. My aching back.
That wasn't such a hard job.
Let me sit here for a second until I get my strength back.
Well, and when you get it back, you can take down the living room drapes and take them up to the roof and give them a good shaking.
I'll do nothing of the sort. Me, New York's finest costume designer, doing such menial work? Oh, I just happen to remember I have an appointment in 15 minutes, so toodaloo, you two. Oh, my poor back. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh, you won't get over that for a week. Well, where did I leave off before Clarence interrupted us? Oh, yeah, I was going to polish the bedroom furniture.
Oh, come on out here, Margie. There's a job out here I've been putting off for a long time. It just has to be done when I'm in the mood.
What's that, Myrtle?
I think you better straighten up the hall closet first. It's a guest closet, and I dare any guest to find a spot to put anything.
Oh, I'll say. Say, it looks like Fibber McGee's hall closet.
Well, let's haul all of these old hat boxes and cartons and stuff out of here. I'll sort the things over, and what I don't want, I'll throw out.
Okay, here goes. Ooh.
Well, bring it all in the living room. It'll be easier to look over there.
Boy, I never saw so many hat boxes.
And they're full of old hats, old shoes, old letters, newspaper clippings, New Year's Eve souvenirs, and junk.
Hey, what's in this big carton?
Oh, those are the old Christmas tree ornaments.
Oh, Myrtle, you just stuffed them all in the box without wrapping them in tissue paper. Oh, look, some of them are broken. I'll sort them out.
Well, if you're that industrious, there's a lot of old tissue paper up on the top shelf.
Okay, I'll get it.
Guess I'm a little careless. Just look at this tangled mass of wires and bulbs. Haven't used these Christmas lights for a long time. In fact, all during the war. They're probably no good.
Well, I'll plug this end in the wall socket and see. Oh, look, Myrtle, they are light.
Well, can you imagine that?
That big white light at the very end with the silver star.
Yeah, that always went on the tippy-top end of the tree.
The star of Bethlehem. The one that guided the way to the place where the little Jesus was born.
I can just remember back at the farming home in Chicago when they used candles. They were dangerous. One of the little girls caught her dress on fire. Quite badly burned.
Oh, that must have been awful.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll start wrapping these ornaments in the paper, huh?
We use all of them on our tree next Christmas, if we're still together.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be together, Myrtle.
I hope so, Margie. Christmas is always a sad time for me. I just can't ever enter the holiday spirit like other people.
Why, Myrtle? I just love Christmas.
Well, I told you I never had a doll when I was a little girl. So I bought myself a present several years ago. Would you like to see it?
Yeah, I would.
It's in my clothes closet. I'll get it. Here it is.
May I unwrap the box?
Yes. I used to keep her out on a special little nook in the bedroom, but she was getting so soil looking, I put her away. Go ahead, open the box, Margie.
Okay. Oh, isn't she beautiful? Dark curly hair. Well, she's as large as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And this little white dress, why, it's homemade. Look, it's got a slip and a shirt. Why, everything, real baby clothes. Oh, but Myrtle, this funny little dress, whoever made it.
Well, I made it. I'll admit I couldn't sew very good, but...
Why, these shoes, they're real baby shoes. Oh, they've been worn. The little dress has been worn, too. Myrtle, you've got tears in your eyes. What's the matter?
Well, Margie, it goes back a long time. Almost 17 years. I've been in vaudeville, playing around the small times. A couple of months before Christmas, we played in a little town in Ohio. I couldn't go on any further, so the manager of the act left me there. Had no friends and no money. I was staying at a little boarding house. The woman who ran it took pity on me and let me stay. I'll never forget the snow. Great drift that came up over the windowsill in my room. So white, deep. Reminded me of death. Wanted to die. Hoped it would. The days and hours dragged along. Finally the doctor came. And on Christmas Eve, she was born.
Who, Myrtle?
My baby. My little Marguerite.
Your little baby Marguerite. Is that what you meant today when you said what a strange coincidence?
Yes, Margie. Next Christmas Eve, she'd be 17 years old.
Just to think your little Marguerite would be 17. I won't be 17 until sometime next January. Oh, I'm so glad you told me about her, Myrtle.
Yes, dear. I'm glad I told you, too. Let's wrap up the doll, dear. Put her away again.
You didn't tell me the rest, Myrtle.
Well, that's all for today, Margie.
Couldn't you tell me just a little more? Where is she? Is she...
Is she?
Yes, Margie. When she was 3 months old, she died.
Why there is that strong bond between Mert and Marge. Mert's baby, had she lived, would soon be 17 years old, and her name was Marguerite. Margie, in a way, makes up for Mert's lost child. Don't miss the next exciting chapter of the story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.